Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. There are two ways to receive God's truth. Did you know that you can actually disprove anything? It's all a matter of mindset and attitude and will. A closed mind can disprove anything. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 state, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Here in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, we see people who want teachers that speak an easy message, a soothing message. The truth doesn't really matter. Just basically make the itch on my ears go away. Make me feel good about myself, even if you tell me lies. And people will knowingly reject the truth sometimes in favor of something a bit more comforting. But ultimately, lies do not provide any real comfort. Now, the other way to receive the truth can be found in Acts 17, verse 11. We've seen how deadly a closed mind is, where people can reject truth even when they know better. But then Acts 17 and verse 11 praises the Bereans anciently. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." The Bereans studied with an open mind, and they were ready to believe anything they read in the Bible. They wiped away preconceived notions, all forms of bias, and they simply let the Bible interpret itself. No book on earth is more misinterpreted and maligned than the Bible. You could show one passage of the Bible to 10 different Bible scholars, and you would get at least a few different interpretations, if not 10 different ones. It just seems like everyone has their own reading of the Bible. Now, of course, a lot of this is God's doing. God has not opened everyone's mind yet. But then also, human beings tend to be hostile toward God, as it says in Romans 8 and verse 7. And a lot of humans close their own minds to the truth through their own stubbornness, their own rebellion. They make it impossible for God to ever open their minds. We have a really great textbook at Herbert W. Armstrong College here in Edmond, Oklahoma. It's a textbook for our homiletics course, which is a course about speaking the truth of the Bible. And this textbook is titled Speak for God. This textbook says, "Could you clearly and plainly explain the meaning of God's word to someone who asked you? This responsibility will confront you occasionally in this life. But there is coming a time when it will be one of your main responsibilities. This world is gripped by misunderstanding and deception regarding God's word. We must be training today for when God can use us to expose those deceptions and teach people his ways. Today, people can argue and debate and obscure the truth all they want. God allows it. But in the wonderful world tomorrow, under the perfect rule and government of Jesus Christ, the time for games will be over. No more semantics, no more verbal tricks to try to wriggle away from what the Bible actually says. The real message of the Bible, the real theme of the Bible, you could say, is obedience to God. At least that's a very central theme of the book. The Bible is our instruction manual. We are God's creation. God is our creator. He made us, but he also sent with us an instruction manual to show us how we should operate. He gives us 10 commandments in the Bible to show us how to live. And he gives us a number of other laws as well regarding health and finances and other aspects of life. And a huge part of God's law, God's commands to his creation, human beings, is that we should keep the Sabbath and the holy days. We are now in the month of September. We're coming up fast on the fall holy days. And these fall holy days picture the important fall harvest, the grand fall harvest of God's master plan for all mankind. We've already been through the spring holy days and observances that picture God working very small and starting small with a few people, his first fruits, those in his church today who are preparing ahead of Christ's second coming to be able to teach the world. But then this fall harvest, these fall holy days, picture God now working with all mankind. This will begin once Jesus Christ returns. These holy days help make plain to us our purpose, our potential, why God created us, what we are doing here on earth. And yet, Satan is hard at work to cause human beings to deny the importance of keeping God's holy days and God's Sabbath. The Sabbath itself pictures the world tomorrow when Christ will rule the earth. And all human problems will be solved. The holy days, these fall holy days, picture God opening the minds of mankind and giving them a chance to live his way for the very first time. And yet, Satan is convincing people that these holy days do not matter. There's a passage in Colossians chapter 2 that is often misinterpreted to mean that we should not keep God's holy days. Notice here, Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this passage to Gentile people, and today this passage is distorted to be proof that only the Jews should keep the holy days. People say that Paul was telling the Gentiles, don't worry about keeping the holy days like the Christian Jews do. To be Christian Gentiles, you don't have to keep the holy days. But that's not what Colossians 2 verses 14 through 17 say at all. We have a wonderful Bible resource called the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. And I'll put the link in the show notes for you to be able to enroll in that life-changing Bible course for free. But lesson 30 of the correspondence course says, these verses, most often quoted against keeping God's festivals, are, when properly understood, proof that they were being kept by the New Testament church. Now going back to verse 14, Colossians 2 and verse 14, where it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The word handwriting there means a handwritten note of debt. And then ordinances, in the context of Colossians chapter 2, is referring to laws of men. So this is talking about Jesus Christ wiping out our note of debt to man's laws. Basically, it's an admonition not to put man's laws ahead of God's laws. Christ reminds us to put God's law first. And if God's law and man's law ever contradict, the choice between the two should be very clear. Verses 20 through 22, again, talk about the ordinances of men. As human beings, it is natural, it is easy to put human laws and human opinions ahead of God. It's so easy to care more about what other human beings think of us than what God thinks. Humans are right there. We can see them. Their peer pressure really impacts us so much because we all tend to be people pleasers. But here in Colossians 2, Paul is saying Christ wipes out that note of debt to human laws. Remember to put God's law first. Mark 7 and verse 7 says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Exalting human laws really makes our religion worthless. If we're putting human laws ahead of God's law, what's the point of being a Christian? Where's the courage to take a stand for God and what He actually tells us to do? So, we are guilty of sin when we put human laws above God's law. The handwriting of ordinances in Colossians 2 and verse 14 is a note of debt against us for prioritizing man's law over God's law. We sin when we do that, and Christ had to pay for that sin with His death. The Revised Standard Version says, translates Colossians 2 verse 14, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands, this He set aside, nailing it to the cross. All mankind is guilty of committing sin. The penalty of sin is eternal death, Romans 6 and verse 23. That penalty hangs over us until we accept Christ's sacrifice. Christ nailed that death penalty to the stake and died for us. The Bible Correspondence Course says, by Christ's sacrifice, that note of indebtedness that legally demanded death was set aside. That is what was abolished, not God's laws and holy days. So Christ has given us a way to escape the death penalty, thanks to His sacrifice. Putting human opinions, human ways, human laws ahead of God required the death penalty, and Christ paid that penalty for all of us. Continuing in the correspondence course, the note of sinful guilt was against us until Christ lifted its penalty from us. His crucifixion allows us to be forgiven those sins. Colossians 2 verse 14 actually supports God's law. The March, April 1999 Royal Vision magazine, which you can get a free subscription of at thetrumpet.com. March, April 1999 Royal Vision magazine says, "Let's be thankful that none of God's laws were blotted out. These laws produce happiness in our lives, protect our families, guard our relations with others and God, and cause us the most supreme joy and prosperity when we submit to them." Just look at the fruits, right? Why are we so desperate to get rid of a law that produces abundant blessings and happiness in our lives? Why, as human beings, do we look for excuses to shatter the law that brings every good thing to us? Here in Colossians 2 and verse 15, it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Jesus Christ has triumphed over spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Our textbook, Speak for God, says, "By making possible the forgiveness of sin, Christ defeated the purpose of Satan and his demons. He made it possible for sons to be born into the God family." So you can start to see how this passage in Colossians 2 relates to the fall holy days. God's plan is to invite all mankind into his family. But if we all had to pay the death penalty still for our sins, there would be no possible way to be born spiritually as gods. We would be required to die forever because of our sins. Christ has paid that penalty, and now Satan and the demons have been thwarted. They can't prevent any human from entering the God family now. Now it's just a matter of humans making the right choice to obey God. But it's not just a matter of, okay, humans, if we can get humans to sin once, now they'll be done. And there's no way they can be in God's family. Christ has defeated that goal of Satan and the demons. Now getting into Colossians 2 and verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Let no man judge you. That means to call into question. And here we see specifically holy days and the Sabbath mentioned. You have the annual holy days, the spring and fall holy days. And you also have the weekly Sabbath. The correspondence course says, "Paul did not say that Christians should not observe God's holy days. He merely said that Christians should not let anyone judge them for observing these days. The Christians at Colossae were being criticized by their pagan relatives and neighbors. They ate meat the pagans prohibited, drank what they did not allow, and observed God's weekly Sabbath and annual holy days. Paul told the Colossians to ignore the criticisms and to continue in their Christian conduct just as they had been taught by the church." Again, this is talking about us not caring too much about what humans think. The Sabbath is an identifying sign of God's people. You can read that in Exodus 31. We stand out in the world when we're going around on Saturdays, dressed up in our nicest suits and dresses. And people will notice that. They might question that. Our family, our friends in the world might pressure us to skip out on the Sabbath so that we can go to the cookout. But God's law comes first. And the Sabbath is holy time where we do not do our own pleasure. verse 17, Colossians 2 and verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, first of all here, you see that verse 17 has is in italics. Mr. Armstrong, the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong, wrote a booklet titled Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days Which? And he addressed Colossians 2 and verse 16 in this booklet. There's an entire inset specifically about this passage in Colossians. And here on page 34, Mr. Armstrong says, the once pagan Colossians never kept these holy days of God before. They were heathen prior to conversion. Now that they had learned the gospel, they were keeping holy the days God made holy. And Paul is warning them not to return to or be influenced by their old pagan ways, the ways of those who hated God's laws and festivals. And notice the way Mr. Armstrong explains Colossians 2 and verse 17. On page 35 of Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? This verse has troubled many, yet it should not. Notice that the word is in the King James Version is in italics. It does not appear in the original. The original Greek says only, but the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? How does Paul use this expression in Colossians? And then Mr. Armstrong refers to Colossians 1 and verse 18, where it says that Christ is the head of the body, the church. Mr. Armstrong says the true church of God is the body of Christ. Just as the Spirit of God once dwelled in the earthly body of Jesus Christ, so now the Holy Spirit dwells in each member of the church, and together the members constitute one body, doing the very work Christ did. The church is therefore Christ's body today. And Christ is the head, as the husband is the head of the wife. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Now, I know this is a lengthy quote, but this is very important here. Page 35. Pagan holidays are God's holy days, which Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong says, Paul is declaring in Colossians that no unauthorized person is to sit in judgment of a true Christian's conduct. Man does not determine how we should live, but it is the responsibility of the church, the body of Christ, to determine these matters. The church is to teach how to observe the festivals, to explain the meaning of self-control in eating and drinking, etc. So these little understood verses ought to be translated clearly. Let no man therefore judge you, but rather let the body of Christ determine it. Let Christ's body judge these church matters. Basically, it should say, let the body of Christ judge these matters. God's church has the authority to explain the Bible to God's people. God's church has jurisdiction over the proper observance of the Sabbath and the holy days. And those in the body of Christ, church members, should care very much about judgments made in the church about how to keep these days. We shouldn't care much about worldly friends and family trying to pressure us away from keeping the holy days, but we should definitely care what the church has to say. Colossians 2 verses 14 through 17 are absolute proof that we must keep God's holy days. These verses also remind us that God must always occupy first place in our lives. When we are forced to choose between God and the customs and people of the world, the correct choice is clear. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.